Okay, hi Wee Hyung. Nice to have you here. Maybe you'd like to introduce yourself to the people?
Yeah, sure. So I'm the SQL Server MVP, and for a long time I've been looking at database management system. And one of the systems that I've been looking at specifically is SQL Server. And in the past few years, I've been trying to share what are the benefits of using SQL Server 05. And now, subsequently, with the impending launch for SQL Server 08, I've been sharing about the exciting features in SQL Server 08. Yeah.
Okay.
So
great,
I'm glad to be here.
So I heard that the new CDP has just been released, right?
Yes, the November CDP.
So would you like to explain to us some of the cool features of SQL 08?
Sure. So SQL Server 08, right, has many exciting new features. Some of them include things like, for example, if you need facilities for you to do auditing, audit trails, and stuff like that, you have this thing called change data capture. On the BI front, right, you have many interesting things. Like, for example, for a long time when people built OLAP cubes, right, they've been wondering whether the dimensions that they have built or the hierarchies in dimensions that they've built, whether it adhere to some best practices. And they will then have to turn to some online resources in order to see whether that is indeed a best practice. In SQL Server 08, right, one of the exciting things that they have introduced, right, is that now you have real-time alerts in the form of squiggles that will tell you that, oh, this dimension is not done correctly and therefore you should make changes to it. At the same time, there's also been a lot of feedback on Report Builder. So in SQL Server 08, at least in the November CTP, right, they have now a new report designer, a preview of the report designer, which is very office-like, and therefore it makes the job of designing reports much easier for the users. So besides BI improvement, besides introduction of things like change data capture, there are also new data types that have been introduced. Okay, and some of these new data types really builds on the large UDTs that are supported in SQL Server 08. As you know, right, in SQL Server 05, the UDT, there's a maximum size of 8,000 bytes. Okay, in SQL Server 08, the 8,000 byte limit has been overcome, and there are several new UDTs introduced. And this UDT translate, some of these translate to new data types. Okay, and of all these data types that have been introduced, one of the exciting data types that I hope to share with you today is this idea of spatial data types. The ability to store spatial objects natively in SQL Server 08, run queries efficiently on them, and at the same time support applications that need to make use of spatial objects. Yeah.
I noticed that spatial data type is only supported in the latest CDP, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
It's the first time we ever implement spatial data type.
Yeah. So if you're using the July CDP, right,
yeah,
it's not there yet. Yeah. But since November CDP, right, the full spatial data types are there. Spatial indexing is also in place. And many of the spatial functions that you can invoke against the spatial data types are all there. Yeah. So you can actually play with it.
Okay. Maybe you'd like to explain to us some of the simple data types, like give us some coding.
Okay, okay.
Syntax.
But besides that, right, I mean, do you know what spatial query is?
Not really. Maybe you'd like to explain to
Okay, So you're familiar with relational queries, right? So
yeah,
in relational queries, your data is stored in the forms of rows and columns, and then you could write a SQL query against it, and you'll return data.
Yes.
So why do you need spatial queries and things like that? So let's consider what is a spatial object. Okay, so simplistically, right, if we look at...
In the olden days, we always saw spatial data types as doubles, right?
Yeah,
so we
have
longitude, latitude, both are double, then we will try to run some functions on them.
That's correct. So what is a spatial object, right? Let's start with what is a spatial object. So let's say if you consider X and Y, right, it's a familiar diagram, right?
Yep.
And if we have a point, so every point here can be described by, for example, if let's say this is your origin 0, 0, okay, and this point could have been your 1, okay, let's suppose this is 1, okay, and this is 0, and this is 1.
Okay.
So this point could be 1, 1, right?
Yes.
So this point has a location,
yep,
okay? If you look at this X and Y space per se, right, this point can be considered a spatial object.
Okay.
Okay, so a point can be a spatial object. Okay, if we think further, right, it may not necessarily be a point, right?
Yeah.
I could say, well, I could have a square. Okay, I could have a polygon.
Okay.
Each one of these is described by a series of points.
Okay.
Okay, and each one of these have a certain space within this area, right?
Yep.
And therefore, each one of these can be considered a spatial object. So if you think per se, right, a spatial object really consists of a location. This location, as I said, could be as simple as a point. It could be as a group of points which describe the shape of the spatial object. At the same time, it has an extent, what we call a spatial extent, meaning that the space in which it occupies. So essentially, these are spatial objects. And you're right. Previously, when we try to store spatial object in a database, right, what we make use of a series of X and Y, as in two columns, yeah. It is a point.
Yes.
But if you want to store, let's say, a square, or you want to store a polygon or a complex shape, okay, you need multiple rows. That could be one. But what happens if, let's say this is a spatial object, right?
Yeah.
Let's say this spatial object has holes in it. Then it's not so straightforward.
Yeah. You have to store three shapes, right? Then do some functions on them.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. So, of course, before SQL, right, introduces spatial, the ability to store spatial objects natively yeah. in SQL, right? For a long time, either people has been doing that, or there's also been other projects that looks at storing spatial objects within the database
yeah.
itself. But there's several issues that you need to address. One is that once you have this spatial object in the database, irregardless of whether it's stored as columns or whether you define your own user-defined types to do it, you need several things to ensure that your queries right performs as in execute quickly. Right? One of them is you need spatial indexes.
Yes.
How do you put spatial indexes on this?
Previously, you couldn't.
Previously you couldn't. So that is one. Two is that when you talk about spatial per se, right? This is very simple, right?
Yes.
This is just a series of geometries, right?
Yep.
Correct. But if we think about spatial in the bigger picture, right? Spatial really consists of two kinds, right? As you're aware, if we say we want to deal with a spatial object, right?
Yeah.
This spatial object can really either be what we saw, the geometry that we saw earlier. Okay, which can be a point, can be a rectangle, can be a polygon, and so on and so forth. But we know that in many GIS applications, right, we do not just consider things on a planar surface, right?
Yes.
Correct? So, for example, right, you know that let's just consider on a planar surface, right? If let's say this is a plane, and we have two points, right, you want to compute the distance between these two points very easy, right?
Yes.
Correct?
There's a maths formula for this, right?
Yeah, and we have been trained on this maths formula since high school days, right?
Yeah.
But we know that if you want to store a spatial object in the context of GIS application, right, we don't really deal with a planar surface, right? We deal with a globe, or rather, this we call a geodetic.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So, and now if I have a point here, and I have a point here, and I say I want to compute the distance, right? It's not so straightforward as just this distance, right?
Yes.
Because there's elevation, there's angular involved.
Yeah.
And we also know that different countries or different places in which you are in, right, have different referencing systems.
Mm.
And based on the referencing system, which tells you how you describe a point, you have different ways of computing it. Mm. If you are writing your own stop procedures or what, just to compute all this, it gets very tricky. It would be nice if I could say, oh, this is a reference system I want to use.
Okay.
Let's say a database for, in this case, SQL Server, right, take care of it, and you can immediately get the distance.
Yeah.
So SQL Server, when you store a spatial object, you can actually store two types. There's actually two spatial types introduced.
Okay.
One of them is the geometry, which is a planar or a, what we call a flat earth kind of phenomenon. The other one is what we call geography.
Which is to handle such a sphere.
Yeah, where we assume that the world is not flat. The world is round. And it's true that coordinate systems are invented for a round earth as well as a flat earth.
Okay.
Yeah. So this in essence, right, are the two new spatial data types that have been introduced in SQL Server. And we are in subsequent discussions, right, I will show you how you can make use of this and at the same time how you can build spatial indexes on top of this. What's the difference between a spatial index and the normal index that we're used to for relational database? And yeah. And then the final series, just now you mentioned that we wanted to do three series, right?
Yeah.
So in the third series, I'll show you how to develop in applications that make use of these data types.
Okay.
And take note that because these data types, right, are now, as in this data types, the spatial data types as in SQL Server, right, these are really UDTs, okay? Which means to say within a specific namespace, you can actually directly reference this data type in all your .NET applications.
Oh, okay.
And the namespace, basically, which we'll go into detail subsequently, right, is that, I hope this is correct, if I remember correctly, is Microsoft.SQL Server.Types. And therefore, in your application itself, right, if while you query SQL 08, and then you pull out the data that is a spatial object, right? Yeah. Within your .NET code, right, you can actually say, oh, this spatial object is of type geometry or of type geography. And therefore, since it's of type geometry, then there'll be certain properties that you can access. There'll be certain methods that you can access in order to, yeah.
Yeah, I think we have come to the end of the first part of a three-part series, right?
Okay.
So in the next part, what will you be talking about?
So in the next part, right, right now we only have an idea that SQL Server 08 with the November CTP, it supports spatial objects, the storage of spatial objects natively.
Yes.
It supports spatial queries against the spatial objects. In the next series, we are going to go into a deep dive into how to manage all these spatial objects, how to build indexes on top of it. At the same time, I will also show you the difference between geometry and geography. Yeah, and that's it. So that will be the next series that's coming up.
Okay, thank you, Bijong. I look forward to your next video.
Yeah, sure. Thanks.
Thanks.